This is Strange Harbor.
The evidence is overwhelming that what we were taught in school about ancient human civilization, particularly about the ancient Egyptians, is far from accurate. Specifically, that our true history was once far older and advanced than we ever thought possible. And the most recent scientific evidence further demonstrates that the Great Pyramid of Giza, Egypt, was not a tomb built for the pharaohs, but is literally a massive technological structure that is beyond our current understanding. You may have seen the news articles that reported on a recent study published in the Journal of Applied Physics, which showed that the Great Pyramid can concentrate electromagnetic energy inside of its internal chambers, as well as under its base and inside the subterranean chamber. Because of this discovery, which was based off calculations of the pyramid, we are able to advance nanosensor technology. So it just so happens that the largest and most mysterious structure ever built, done with extreme precision which mimics modern day laser cut technology, and they say that they did this with chisels and bronze saws. Those proposed methods have long been since debunked. Did you know that the location of the Great Pyramid of Giza, Egypt, just so happens to be the location that they were going to choose to be the prime meridian? It's funny how they never mentioned that not one single mummy was ever found in any of these pyramids ever. We don't even mention that in school for some reason. The most mysterious structure in the history of mankind just so happens to be located on this one unique spot. And here's another fact to add on top of that. The Great Pyramid faces true north almost perfectly. In fact, down to a fraction of 1 degree of accuracy. It just so happens that they are able to focus and concentrate on electromagnetic energy, which they are saying is going to help us advance our modern technology. Is it possible that the Great Pyramid of Giza was a power plant that somehow operated on the same premise that Nikola Tesla had theorized? I think that it's possible, indeed probable, that we are a species with amnesia, that we've lost the record of our story going back thousands of years before so-called history began. And I think if we could go back to that dark epoch, we would discover many astounding things about ourselves.
Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. We talk about ghosts, UFOs, strange anomalies, orbs, and conspiracies, Sasquatch, all that good stuff. I am Johnny Manson, and she is MUFON investigator Cherie DeSeuss.
Keeping it real with UFOs.
So, see any ghosts or goblins or Sasquatch or UFOs lately?
Yes and no, no. Yes.
Yes and yes?
Sure. Yeah, you know, it's almost time for the peak of the veil being thin, and ghosts are making themselves known every single day in my house.
Really?
Yeah.
We got to go check that out. We got to do something. I was watching a ghost, it was Paranormal Caught on Camera, and these ghost hunters were in this really haunted log cabin, and the log cabin, you know, it was the kind of typical great-grandparents built it on sacred Native American land, ever since then it's been haunted, and they brought, like, different equipment that was just going off the chart. They eventually left. They were so kind of freaked out with everything that was going on.
Well, that's a REM pod.
A REM pod.
Yeah, a REM pod is used to be able to allow spirits to speak to the living. It catches AM, FM, radio, and it goes through each of those channels really, really fast. So if you get someone that actually says something over it, like two or three words, that's impossible at the rate it's going through these AM, FM stations. Mm-hmm. But the REM pod is able to allow these spirits to speak through them. So there's REM pods, and then there's, EMF detectors. There's a lot of tools used by these ghost researchers. And, yeah, it will freak you out if you are not prepared for it.
Okay, these devices, on being a skeptic, how do we know that this isn't, these things light up and stuff, because it's like a AM frequency, because I know, for example, the AM studio here for KBKW, we're on AM and FM, and some parts of the day, when we're even on low power or transmitter, people in Sweden can hear us. So how do we know that it's not some, I don't know, some techie bandwave AM, FM, translator, transmitter, weird thing that is kicking these things on and off?
Well, that's a good question. And there are actual scientists and inventors who've created devices that do a specific job. Each one of these devices that are used in ghost hunting check and balance each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, something as simple as a flashlight that can be turned on and off with a little twist.
Mm-hmm.
So you barely twist it so that it's off. And you let it sit for like 15 minutes to make sure there's nothing vibrating in the house that's going to make it click on. So you ask your spirit world if they're willing to turn it on if they're there. And it, clink, right away,
now,
turns on.
Why couldn't they turn it on without you having to almost, why can't it be totally in the off position, then
because
be able to?
Because of the energy that's necessary to do that simple task.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things the spirit world has to do to have enough energy to interact with
us. So they have rules?
Yeah.
Or boundaries? Limitations?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. They're not of body,
mm-hmm.
so they're pure energy.
Right.
And this energy is got to, has, must focus on a specific thing. They don't have hands to turn this thing.
Right.
Their energy is spent once they talk to you for maybe a minute.
I keep thinking back to psychic George Anderson, the most scientifically tested psychic. I keep thinking of what he says about this kind of thing.
They can't wave a magic wand over there and make things go the way that we would like. I constantly try to get it to work the way I think it should. And it does work the way it works. There are people who themselves kind of screw up their own session because they expect a particular individual to come or something particular to be said, and it's not going to work the way they think it should either.
And I have a little bit of an insight about that. Well, according to some scientists, Spottiswood. Okay, so Dr. Spottiswood discovered something very unusual. There appears to be evidence that psychic phenomena can be affected by external factors. And that's like the laws we were talking about, like geomagnetic forces and our alignment with the cosmos.
Hmm.
Now, this sounds woo-woo-woo-woo.
Right.
But as strange as it sounds, this researcher discovered significant data showing that remote viewing in sidereal time is directly correlated with success or lack thereof, based on the orientation to the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and at first, he didn't know why. Okay, so let's talk about sidereal. Sidereal time is a method used by astronomers, and it's used to keep track of celestial objects. It's not our time based on the rotation of our Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. So it's based on a time scale of Earth's rotation in relation to fixed stars in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not based on a 24-hour thing.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So, and it's used to discover the mysterious nature of pulsars, highly magnetic rotating neutron stars, and a source of gravitational waves. So, what every psychic wanted to know once he figured out this almost impossible thing is what time of the day that they would have the most success in using their psychic abilities. And the true psychics, the ones that have narrowed in what, you know, their talents and what time of the day and or night, are far more successful, like 400% more successful. The correlation between sidereal and...
That's a fancy word. What's that mean?
It basically means that it's what the astronomers use, that the rotation of the Earth based on a fixed point
mm-hmm.
of the longitudinal aspect of the planet points towards the Milky Way galaxy. At that point, you pick up an enormous amount of psychic ability. Everybody on this planet, during the day or night, when that alignment is true, anybody can be a superstar.
How do we know? How can we tell? Like, hey, you know what? I'm feeling awful psychic-y right now.
Yeah,
you know?
You'll get like that.
Really?
Yeah, and that's something that the human race has. And animals have.
Animals?
Yes.
I just thought they could smell and hear good.
Oh, no. They have psychic ability, just like we do. So he did, like, 22 different studies, and he found a 400% spike in the success rate of tests from remote viewing sessions and wondered what could be causing it. Upon initially examining the time of day when the sessions were being conducted based on solar time, he kept finding discrepancies, but when organized the data based on sidereal time, Spottiswood found a correlation. Finally, eureka! At 1330 H, local sidereal time, that's LST as opposed to Pacific Standard Time, the data showed that one would have 400% greater success remote viewing. At this time, our planet is oriented with the Milky Way so that the galactic center is located directly on the horizon. This daily period of peak psychic cognition lasts for about 3.5 hours, from 12:45 to 14:15 hour LST. Now, you can Google this, and you can find out, wherever you live, what's the best time for your psychic powers. When the center of the galaxy is directly overhead or at the zenith, psychic cognition drops to its lowest point between 17.5 and 20 hours. Basically, what they're saying is there's a good time and a bad time to be psychic. Every time he tested it, it was true. Okay, that's how scientists find out that the theories are correct. And even though he doesn't know exactly why this is true, there are those who believe that when we're centered up like that with our galaxy, these waves, electromagnetic waves, interfere with it. So maybe that's where the electromagnetic field is weakest. I mean, Russia made it famous in the, 70s? And then the Americans, they tried it in the late 70s. And remote viewing is one of the easiest psychic things to do.
Now, didn't our government used to use that?
They still do.
They still do. Because then I heard they stopped, and I was like, well, why would they stop doing that unless it didn't work? Or
no, it works. It works so well that they're able to know when certain people are in certain buildings. For instance, one of our enemies in Iraq or something like that, if the force needed to go in and they didn't know if this guy was in the building, they would get a reader to tell them, yes, this guy's here. He's in there right now. And sure enough, they'd bomb the hell out of it, and there you go. There he was. You know, matched his teeth and everything. Apparently, you know, they have little rules on how to do this. You know, they don't put big groups together to do it. They, you know, they might have two or three individuals that are remotely viewing this area. And if those individuals believe that that person is in there, they'll go. Anybody that's psychic or wants to improve their psychic ability, Google LST, you know, your sidereal time, and find out when you're matched up.
Okay.
Now, we're going to go through a bit of a geomagnetic storm. We have been for the last couple of days. And
is that why I had the headache the other day? I don't get headaches usually. I had this temple ache. I mean, I had to go to Mom's and, like, lay down and take a nap.
Sure.
Because I didn't want to drive all the way home.
Yeah, it affects you that way.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah, it's like yowza.
Right.
Yes, it can medically affect you. And some of us that can absorb that energy and then pass it back out through us blow up light bulbs. Some people might find they're getting shocked more often. They may feel a little woozy, you know, like they want to walk towards the kitchen and they get kind of woozy about direction. Like, wait, where's the kitchen? It messes up with your natural locator in your brain. You can have some issues. So there, definitely look it up, because if you want your very best psychic ability, you don't want it during a geomagnetic storm from the sun, and you certainly don't want it if you're at the zenith. There's something else I want to talk about.
Uh-oh.
Hair.
Easy.
Long, beautiful hair. Tiny. No, no. Okay. Not going to go with me on that.
You have long hair.
I do. Mm-hmm. Now you want to know why?
You're going to tell me.
Yes, I am. All right. So indigenous cultures, mm-hmm. Native Americans, mm-hmm. Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
gosh, all over the planet we have indigenous cultures, and they have connected long hair to psychic capabilities or improved intuition for centuries.
That's it. I did laser hair removal. I've been shaving my head for years before I had it done.
Okay.
But maybe that's why I'm not psychic.
Well, you are psychic.
Gosh.
No, I mean, how long is your back hair?
I have no hair on my back.
Okay.
But I'm pretty hairless. I mean, it sounds kind of crude, but yeah, I'm not a big hairy person. But
okay, but we're talking about deep psychic capabilities here.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about over the top, not an average human psychic knowing knowledge. My mom is on the phone. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about stuff like
Nostradamus type stuff or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Precognition.
He probably had long hair too, right? Nostradamus?
Yes, he did. Very, very long hair. Let's talk about the indigenous cultures. Allegedly, the infamous Choctaw and Navajo Native American scouts of the Vietnam War, known as the Code Talkers, attributed their extrasensory capabilities to their long hair. According to these recruits, who were forced to cut their hair, their intuition dimmed with short hair, rendering them less effective as trackers. So their psychic ability, their ability to do their job and to talk their language to get forces in and out of dangerous areas, were dimmed because we forced them to cut their hair. Not real brilliant on our part.
Mm-hmm.
So what's this? Long hair and improved intuition? Is that myth or fact? Western science still is catching up to Eastern mystical knowledge, right? I mean, there is stuff that goes on in the Eastern world that we just don't get. Currently, Western science considers hair to be dead. No use at all, right?
Right.
However, knowledge of the subtle body is growing. There are things about our body that it's here for a purpose. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that the hair picks up on and transfers subtle information. So by keeping the ends of my hair trimmed, which I did last night, and keeping it long, I encourage my psychic abilities. Remember Samson in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Also known as the strong man. He was forbidden to cut his hair.
Yeah.
His long hair was considered a testament of his dedication to God. In the stories of Samson, his strength is connected to his hair length. And when his hair was cut by Delilah, he didn't have the strength anymore. He didn't have his internal psychic abilities anymore. And that's kind of how I think that the Navajos felt and the Choctaw when they were code talkers, got their hair cut off, and it was like, yeah. All right, so is hair alive? I think we all know that hair is dead once it leaves the root. It's a compilation, a layering of dead protein. But that dead protein and proteins overall can act as an antenna. And that may be the reason that we're picking up things with the hair cells. Okay, so I have a theory. What is it that Sasquatch has? Hair.
Oh, they have hair all over their body. But then they're also said to be psychic.
Uh-huh.
Mind speak.
Mm-hmm.
So you think their hair is playing a part in all this?
I do. And I think that it makes sense. Like, when did we lose all our hair? We were all hairy beasts at one time.
When we started living in houses and needing nice, smooth surfaces.
We started losing our hair because of the climates we chose. We got the heck out of all that cold stuff. And because of our habits, we started wearing clothing, which once it rubs against the skin, the hair falls off. Ask anybody that wears a hat every single day how much hair they have left. We started just losing all our hair. Is that when we lost our psychic abilities and now we're trying to reclaim them? So, yeah, I think with Sasquatch, their psychic abilities could very well be tied in to their hair because it's long.
Right.
And it's all over their body.
Yeah.
They can sense things. They know when we're around.
Mm-hmm.
So they have heightened senses of smell and sight.
You know, there's a recent theory. A lot of researchers, including myself, thought when we heard a tree knock, it was them taking a stick and hitting a tree.
Oh, it's not?
Well, it still could be. But now the theory, or a theory, is they're either using their hands to make that sound or their mouth.
Oh, echo, like a bat.
David Ellis of the Olympic Project, he's their audio guy, amongst other things. He can do this thing with his mouth to where he can pop it.
Oh, sure.
And it sounds like a tree knock. With them being able to mimic animals, mimic
right.
humans,
right.
imitate things, make all these different sounds that we can't. It's just, again, just a theory, but it's more of a recent theory as opposed to taking a stick and hitting a tree. Because that's what it sounds like, somebody just taking a baseball bat and hitting a tree trunk.
Well, you know, sound can be a locator. You can make sound. And the way it echoes off of certain bodies,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a tree, a human, an animal,
mm-hmm.
they can find their prey.
Would it be like radar?
It's like bats. Yeah.
Okay.
Vibration is in everything on the planet. Everything has a vibration. I don't care if it's metal, plastic.
Another theory is they have infrasound, the capabilities, which is vibrations, right?
Yes.
So you're making a lot of sense here.
Oh, no.
You might be the one to crack the code.
Oh.
A UFO, a MUFON investigator cracks the Sasquatch code.
Oh,
wouldn't that be
God.
Amazing?
Yeah, because...
I'm serious.
I just found out about Sasquatch.
I know, but you know a lot more than most, right?
Scientifically. Yeah.
You know, more than most. We're just citizen scientists. You're an actual scientist.
Yeah.
In a kind of different field. I don't know. It's starting to make a lot of sense.
I have a thing with animals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand them. There are people, you know, and we're animals, right?
Right.
So I have an intuition on animals. And I really believe that Sasquatch is completely real. There's no reason for it not to be real.
Right.
Just because they've been avoiding us doesn't mean that they're not real. It makes perfect sense to me that they would use the qualities of the animals on this planet as a way to protect themselves, to find game, to communicate, and echo-relocate.
Coming up, some strange sounds heard all over the world, but this specific one out of China sounds like a dragon. Coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
Guys, what is going on?
Strange sounds are being heard around the world. In Sweden, this sure sounds like a trumpet. In Michigan, another trumpet-like sound. In British Columbia, Canada, Dr. Glenn McPherson says he heard a strange humming sound in his home. At first, he thought it was an appliance.
Ultimately, I cut the power to the entire house. And the sound got louder.
Then he discovered he was not alone.
This is, in fact, a worldwide phenomenon, and I'm calling it the worldwide hump.
To date, some 17,000 civilians and scientists from around the world who call themselves Hummers saying they heard the same thing.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, and we talk about the weird. Those sounds, what do you think about that?
Those who have faith in God are really thinking these are like the trumpets?
Yeah, signs from the Lord. And
Right. Those, and since it's happening in China and their faith is different, one may argue that these sounds are possibly natural sounds.
Tectonic plates or something.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Some type of rubbing of the different land masses.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to take a look at the area to see if there's tectonic action going on there.
Right.
But my personal favorite...
Dragons?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, why would someone make up dragons in different places on the planet without knowing one another unless something is behind it?
Right.
I mean, there had to have been some kind of flying bird. I mean, okay, look at it this way. The dinosaurs, you know, became birds with wings.
Right.
Okay, so dinosaurs with these little flappy little tiny arms, they all grew out and flew. They were pterodactyls, you know? So who's to say, I'm not sure about the whole fire thing, but if you had the flapping of wings and open fires, that would spread the ashes and catch a lot of people's huts on fire. So if you had an animal, a bird like this, you'd come up with a name, you know, a fire thrower, a dragon.
Right.
And I don't doubt that. Now, as far as the sound...
And they're getting sounds from all over the world.
Yeah.
At his home in the rainforest along Canada's Pacific coast, Glenn McPherson researches something that science says shouldn't exist. But it does for him. He hears it every night. The worldwide hum is usually described as a low-pitched rumble, like a car or truck engine idling nearby, with electronics pulsing. This is a simulation.
We'll be finding out soon enough whether or not the world hum is as prevalent in Asia as it is in the English-speaking world.
Now, after 4 years, his worldwide hum and database project has found nearly 13,000 people on five continents who've emailed to say they're hearing something. The number's too large, McPherson says, to dismiss as hysteria, delusion, or belief in the supernatural.
All over the world, a disturbing sonic phenomenon is plaguing residents of rural areas, towns, and even big cities. This strange sound is a source of constant menace to those who hear it.
It's actually something severely impacting people's lives. It's not just something they hear, it's something that they feel, that they detect throughout their body.
These perpetual low-frequency drones are often simply called the hum. 1991 in Taos, New Mexico. Some residents begin to complain to city officials about an eerie tone haunting them at night.
So I just woke up in the middle of the night and heard this strong humming sound, kind of low, kind of like a
And the U.S. government actually tried to verify it. They went to Taos with low-frequency sound-detecting equipment, and they heard nothing.
For all the experts and all the opinions that are out there, people can't explain what's happening.
A mysterious sound is keeping residents of a small Wisconsin town up at night. Nobody can explain what's causing the loud booming that's being heard in Clintonville. Residents say it sounds like distant thunder, fireworks, or somebody slamming a heavy door. Some have felt the ground shake. A large crowd attended a town hall meeting Wednesday night. The city administrator told residents they're most likely safe, but she admits the source of the sounds and vibrations is a mystery.
Strange noise. It sounds like a trumpet, and it's so weird it's being called a real-life X-Files. This video was shot in a Canadian forest. And this creepy high-pitched sound was recorded in Michigan. This spooky noise was heard in Finland. And now it's happening again across the river from Detroit in Windsor, Canada. The mystery is really freaking people out.
When it comes in really hard. It shakes windows. It rattles dishes. It makes pictures go crooked on the wall.
Sometimes it lasts for hours. Other times for just a few minutes.
Your bed starts shaking, your floors start vibrating.
Hearing some strange sounds out there. I have no idea what the hell they are. It's rattling the earth around here. We're in Long Island. And it's f***ing loud. You hear that? You hear that? I have no idea. Like, it's coming straight out of the sky. What is that? This is for you YouTube people. You hear that?
Clouds too.
If it was a meteor, it wouldn't be repetitive, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, no.
Unless there were multiple meteors going like one after another and in the same sequence of timing.
We've had meteors hitting this planet for millennia.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And man has heard every kind of sound of a boom. These are different. These
right.
are new. These are things that you're not finding in old records going back thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
You're not hearing people saying, well, it sounds like a dragon. If it's new, why is it happening? I believe it has everything to do with the planet itself.
Mm-hmm.
We're about ready to have what is called a magnetic pole change.
Yep, heard about them.
And ever since I was, oh my gosh, in college, that was a while ago.
That was during the last one, right?
Yeah. The
just
last
kidding,
age.
Just kidding.
Feels like it. Okay, so, yeah, I knew about the magnetic pole change. I
mm-hmm.
did my thesis. I did my stories about all that.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in my books.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's coming. And finally, scientists said, you know what, Sheree? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
It is coming. We should have it any minute now.
Doesn't it happen every like 10,000 years? Or
as far as the ocean is concerned, there are magma that will point towards magnetic north. And they've been able to trace by thousands of years
mm-hmm.
how often it happens. We're way overdue.
Wow.
Way overdue. And, of course, the planet is going to make sound and vibrations and groaning
mm-hmm.
during a magnetic pole change. The whole magnetic flow around the planet is changing.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sounds, vibrational sounds. And since everything is made of vibration, either high or low, then we're getting the full treatment on this planet. I don't think anybody should be afraid. I don't think anybody should feel like, you know, demons are coming out from the center of the earth or anything. But
so you don't think it's a dragon or beast or anything like that?
Okay, you know what Occam's razor is, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
The most reasonable, easiest answer is probably going to be the right one.
Right.
I think that magnetic pole change that we are going through right now and haven't over thousands and thousands of years ago, that's why we're hearing the sounds now.
Right.
Is because we are going through it, and they're even showing the increments on Google of how far the magnetic north is being changed every day. It switches. It mm-hmm. goes to different, and it does it drastically. It'll go way over to the right, and then it'll go snap halfway back.
Would that mess up your compass?
Yeah.
Okay.
And birds.
Yeah.
You'll find birds just flying into things.
Wow.
And because their internal compass in their brains are being screwed with.
Right.
Yeah, there are a lot of animals, like dogs. They'll circle until they face, I think, magnetic north.
Mm-hmm.
And even they get confused, you know.
Right.
Because they try to poop that way.
if we find, like, flamingos flying around here, we might just kind of say, oh, okay, that must be.
Yeah, what we need to do is taxi them back to Florida because yeah. they don't know where they are. They have no idea.
So how long does this usually take for a magnetic reversal of the poles?
Well, it's a snap. So it's happening slowly, and then it's going to go boom. And the whole planet will go through a big change. In the past, man has been able to overcome all the problems that they were faced with a magnetic pole change.
Mm-hmm.
But we might have a problem with our technology.
Right.
Yeah, we could find ourselves without our cell phones,
mm-hmm.
computers, a satellite.
But you see,
TV.
We remember a time without that stuff.
Yeah.
I think some of us, if that comes down to it, I think we might be able to calm down those that aren't used to that. Is that possible?
I believe it is, but it would be real PTSD.
Yeah.
Because they would have to live differently than they're used to.
Right.
At least for a while.
We used to play outside.
I know. Every day I'd come home from school, throw my books down, and I was outside.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't come in until it was dinner.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, get your
train dinner time!
I know. And then I'd want to go back outside after dinner.
Did you grow up in the city or out in the woods?
Suburbs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so no suburban Sasquatch or anything?
No. I wasn't really introduced to Sasquatch until I came here, like, 3 years ago.
Okay.
I mean, I knew of the existence and the possibility of
right.
a Bigfoot.
But you didn't know actually how real they are.
No, I didn't know how.
And I think part of the problem was when they first started talking about this, they labeled one, they named it Bigfoot with a capital B instead of a lowercase b, as in a species or more than one. So growing up, I was thinking, it was like, oh, an Elvis sighting. It's this one same animal being seen all over the country, all
yeah.
over the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. But it's not just the same one. It's a bunch of them all over the place.
I think when I started watching these animal channels
mm-hmm.
and learning about Yeti
mm-hmm.
and
yeah, they're different all over the world.
Right.
In different sizes. We have the biggest, the North American Sasquatch is the biggest of all of them, but the Australian Yowie, not as big as the North American Sasquatch, but not as nice, like they'll murder people, not nice kind of thing. Vietnam has the
yes.
Oren Pendik.
Yeah.
I have a hard time
yeah.
pronouncing it.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, yeah, yeah you were.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
There were stories that were coming out,
mm-hmm.
like helicopter pilots would see something and they'd go, I don't think I just saw what I saw.
Really?
Yeah. They'd come back with these stories while they were drinking vodka.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Was it like a Bigfoot-type story? Or?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah definitely.
That's exciting.
They thought it was like, remember those suits for assassins? They were using them in
the ghillie suits?
Yeah, ghillie suits. But it was hair. It was moving like hair.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was running. I mean, wouldn't you run if you were a Sasquatch out in the middle of fields being blown up?
Yeah. Well, they run now here when there's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah. Hey, they're aiming something at me.
Well, as soon as I moved here, I was inundated with this material.
Yeah.
Started reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting to know you, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, I really got to catch up. There are people here that are really into this.
Right.
So, and it's exciting because it's tangible, it's real. They have unique qualities. I would love to sit down and talk to one.
Right. And I was... Yesterday, as a matter of fact, this could have been nothing. I get home, you know, it's not even noon.
Yeah.
Because you know, I get here so early. I get out, and I live out in the woods.
Right.
And I smell cotton candy. The kids aren't home. We don't have cotton candy. We don't have anything that, any incense, anything that smells like cotton candy.
Sure.
I'm outside.
Yeah.
And I get this big whiff, and we don't really have neighbors, and I smell cotton candy. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I hear these stories that female Sasquatch, they like to smell good. Some have claimed that they smell like roses or they just smell like something pleasant. And I'm thinking in my head, well, maybe there's a female out there and she just smells good. So I start speaking Salish just to say friend and food and stuff. And I'm hoping that, you know, if it was someone out there that maybe it understood me and, you know, maybe it would come back or maybe it would, you know, come up to the house. Nothing ever happened after that. The smell eventually just kind of went away.
Dissipated,
but,
sure.
Right. But
she was probably curious about you or your family.
Right. But I've never had that smell there before.
Right. Or since.
Or since. I mean, this was yesterday. So,
wow.
And just kind of coincidence, you know. And it wasn't until I got out of my truck, I just instantly...
Yeah.
If anything, it's just weird.
It is weird.
You know, maybe there's a piece of cotton candy that blew in the wind miles... from the road and somehow managed to tumble into the bush nearby.
Occam's razor.
You know.
Whatever the most simple explanation is probably the right one. You know, I didn't know that about Sasquatch and wanting to smell pretty. But it makes sense. They're females.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hear that they like to smell good, just like most girls like to smell good.
Well, they're trying to, you know, get a mate too, right?
Right.
Uh-oh.
So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt again.
Oh, no. Interruptions are good. Okay, so sensory capabilities, whiskers versus hair.
Okay.
Hair serves differently evolutionary purposes. Whiskers, ground fur, and guard fur are meant to pick up environmental information. Like little feelers. You know how those little hairs that come out of cats and dogs?
Right. Don't cats use theirs for balance, their whiskers? I heard something like that.
As far as I could tell, it tells them in the dark where they are, how close things are.
So, like, if you were to cut one side of a cat's whiskers, would they just, like, fall over? I wouldn't do that.
No. But little kids do dumb things like that.
Right.
All right. So, the hair keeps animals warm, protects against the elements, and picks up environmental information.
Okay.
All right. So, hair has specific things that it can do. So, while all made of keratin, whiskers have measurable innervation. So, that means they send important information to the nervous system and the brain, like large object to the left. So, these whiskers can tell you where you are in space and time. So, common knowledge considers human hair incapable of sending information, even though it is also keratin, which is not real smart. Because if it works for a cat, it works for us.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to grow my whiskers on my face. It's just not going to happen.
What about all of the other hair on our bodies? I mean,
exactly.
Like, we have little microscopic hairs that we, like, even on our face, forehead, ears, all over your body, you have these little microscopic hairs. I know you know this, but you just can't see unless you, like, really look. But
well, it's like a fur.
Right.
It's a little furry. Yeah, women have little furry faces and men have scratchy ones.
Right.
But of course, all that hair sends information to your brain. It always does.
Brain? What?
Yeah. You got a brain. You really, really do.
Don't be accusing me of that.
I don't have any hair anymore. I don't know where it went. I must be...
But don't you have, like, tiny microscopic hairs that you can't see? Or are they all gone?
No, they're there. Little ones.
So we're picking up things from that,
all
too?
All the time.
Okay.
All the time. You'll find yourself doing things like you look behind you to talk to somebody, and you're going through a doorway, and then you find yourself stopping before you hit something. Well, how'd you know it was going to be there?
Mm.
You knew because your hair was telling you.
Okay.
You know? And you've got instincts. Ours are less developed as humans than they used to be, when we were more animalistic and we were constantly
hunter-gatherers
for game.
Yeah,
we had to have real sharp instincts. Mm-hmm. Like, where would this animal go? Where do I go to kill it? What's the best kill place? We don't have that. Maybe fishermen do, but I don't know. Maybe somebody going out to hunt all the time.
Right.
But the average person doesn't have that.
And we got lazy, right? We got lazy.
We got tech.
Oh, go to McDonald's.
Yeah. Did you know that we send all the best fish that comes from our waters mm-hmm. to China?
Yeah, same thing with our oranges, our proud Florida and California oranges. We send the premium stuff over there, and then we use,
and then and then they chop it all up and send us back the crap.
Right.
I'm not kidding.
I totally believe you.
I found that out, and I said, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to catch my own, or mm-hmm. I'm going to go and get a big fish from the fish market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not eating that prepackaged.
Right.
Stuff, unless I know where it comes from. Here in Washington is the best fish I've had since New England.
Yeah, we got some good fish.
The fish here is
yep.
just outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I appreciate that. I may not be a hunter-gatherer anymore, but I do appreciate the real deal.
And there are plenty of hunter-fishers out here that don't eat it, but like the hunt.
Yeah.
The thrill of the hunt, that would just, you know what, I'm going to bring Cherie one of these fish I just caught. Or, you know, I just got this deer, I don't eat it, I just give it to my friends. I'm going to bring Cherie some because she really appreciates that.
Yes, I do.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like more information on our hair and the psychic abilities, the weird noises coming from the earth, the magnetic reversal of the poles, or just yell at us for being tinfoil hat-wearing whack jobs, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.